Our first time in Terre Haute in 2020. I'm with Mayor Duke Bennett. Happy New Year. Good to see you again.
Same to you, Joe.
we're on a different week. I was going to say it's the second
week,
but it's not. I had to correct myself.
We changed a little bit. Yeah,
we're changing it up this month. Let's start with some of the new stuff that I just came across, where I see the NAACP is asking the Terre Haute Chamber to end participation. I believe it's the A&E network that's covering the, or following the Terre Haute Police Department. I don't think we've ever talked about this on the show because
no,
this happened a few months
ago. Yeah, it's fairly new.
Yeah. How did this even start to begin with?
Well, you know, I don't know. I found out last week, Friday, I was at a regional mayor's meeting. And I came back about 3 o'clock, and right before I got back, I got a phone call from the media asking for a comment about the NAACP asking us to cancel the contract with Live PD. And so it just came out of the blue. I mean, we had not had any complaints from them or really any local complaints at all. Everything that I get a complaint about is people from across the nation who watch this show and then like to complain about things and say police harassment or, you know, different kinds of things. And so they told us to expect that before we ever got involved with this contract. So I was a little disappointed that the NAACP didn't just reach out and say, hey, Mayor, we'd like to have sit down and have a conversation with you. We think, you know, that we have some concerns, but I really didn't know anything about any of that. And so where we're at today is not much has changed since the end of last week. I'm waiting, hopefully meet with the executive board who made that decision, so I can, you know, explain to them our position and hear their concerns and see where it takes us. But at this point, I'm not feeling anything or seeing anything, any feedback today. It's all been positive over the weekend. WTHI ran a poll Friday night, came back 83-17 to keep Live PD. You know, and I know those are unscientific things, but all weekend, all I got was positive response from us being a part of that. So I'm just still, you know, like I do everything else, you take all that information from people, you listen to people's complaints, you look at the pros and cons, and you decide how you move forward.
Why did A&E come to Terre Haute?
They just selected us. They called us up one day. They had requested call volume from the 911 center here. They were looking for another Midwestern community. Not really sure, but we talked about it for months to really decide if we wanted to do it, and then decided to move forward with it, knowing that we could cancel at any time. And so far, it's worked out pretty well for us. It's caused us to, you know, reevaluate some procedural things that we don't normally, I mean, those guys are on the field working hard every day, the interactions with the public. I think that transparency is really great. So really, I think all the positives have come out of it so far. And so, you know, I guess we'll see what kind of additional feedback we get or some issues maybe we haven't heard about yet.
And I mean, you were in favor of this from the
get-go
because I think I read where you saw this as a marketing or promotional
tool. We think it's several things. You know, obviously it puts Terre Haute on the map out there. Now, some people say it's in a negative way, but that's not what we hear from other communities that have done this. Number two, it shows people what police officers deal with every day, what they encounter. So we hope that helps with recruiting. It also helps with that transparency so the people can see who watch the show or local people who watch it can say, wow, I didn't realize these are the kind of things they deal with all the time. They may see a bad thing that makes it into the news media, but there's a lot of other stuff that goes on. And so we feel that transparency is worth a tremendous amount to us.
Let's get an update on the proposed casino. I know Spectacle Entertainment has been revealing more details since we've talked of their version. How do you see the scope, the size of what they're bringing to Terre Haute fit Terre Haute?
Yeah, I think it's probably, it's what I expected or hoped it would be. You know, four restaurants and four bars in that facility. It's going to be, I mean, it's going to be a very nice addition to our community, be a nice sizable facility, providing all those different kinds of entertainment opportunities. So if you don't gamble, you still may want to take advantage of these other things. It'll have a small theater. So, you know, I'm feeling really good about this. So kind of the update is on February 7th, the Gaming Commission will be coming to have a meeting, take a look at the community, you know, get feedback from people, kind of the normal things they go through before they make their final decision. And I would hope that that same day they will award this to Spectacle unless they see something they need to follow up on. And then that way we can get this thing going. I'm told that they're ready to break ground within probably 60 days of that. And so this will become a reality very soon.
And the city's part is not over. Part of the last few years was just getting it here. Now that it's very close to being here, the city wants this to be something where it's not a pass through Terre Haute just to the casino, right? You want to capitalize on this.
And you know, people are going to come and go. There's going to be folks that just stop by as they're passing through. But there's also what our goal is to get them to stay for overnight. And so they visit some of our museums and a variety of other things that are happening here. Or if they're coming to one of those other things, then go to the casino while they're here. It gives them something else to do. So whether they're, ball teams traveling through, playing in tournaments, cross-country events, people going to the Griffin Bike Park, or you name it, we want them to feel like there's more than one or two things to do here. There's a whole list of things they could potentially do, stay overnight, you know, go to the restaurants, those kind of things, so they're spending some of their dollars here locally.
But the casino is not downtown.
No, it will be out on the east side.
So is there a strategy to get people to go downtown?
Yes. So just as an example, like from our convention center, as we develop this forward, there'll be a transportation service, so we'll make sure they pick people up at the hotels and the convention center to be able to get them out to the casino if that's what they want to do. So that's all part of how we develop this out to make it easy for people to take advantage of the many different things to do in Terre Haute.
What's the smoking ordinance for that area? Is that part of the city or county, or is it part of
the
county?
It's in the city, but the city and county's ordinance is basically the same. And so there's an issue there that has to be resolved. And we're still trying to determine how best to do that, because right now our smoking ordinance are very restrictive and would not allow that to happen.
Have you heard any feedback? Is it too early to hear from Spectacles saying that they would want
to
have...
No, it's an issue for them. Any casino, I mean, they want to be able to hit the smoking and the non-smoking crowd. And so it does have a financial impact and on anybody who operates a casino, let alone this one. And so we're working through some of the intricacies of that to make sure that we find something that's a solution that works for everybody.
I read about a new veterans clinic planned for the east side to serve 10,000 veterans.
Yes.
Is that per year?
Yes.
Okay, but that's still a lot of people coming to Terre Haute, and I'm sure something that you're welcome to see.
Yeah, we have a small clinic here now that provides quite a few services, but this will be an upgraded facility that can provide even more services to veterans. Happy that they chose Terre Haute to put this facility in. But two, that the size of it and the scope of it's a little bit bigger than what I had originally thought. So not only just the number of employees they'll have to hire, but just people coming to Terre Haute once again for, in this case, medical services. We're just that regional destination. We know we have two major hospitals. Now we're going to have this VA, an expanded VA clinic and outpatient facility that's going to be able to treat a lot of our veterans that I think is really important anyway, and want to make it easy for them and not have to travel to Danville, Illinois, or Indianapolis or elsewhere, make it easier for them to stay closer to Terre Haute in this vicinity. I think it's going to be great. So it'll be, there's a tremendous economic opportunity with that, with having that presence here.
On the flip side of that, I read about Colombian, is it Home Products, closing down in Terre Haute, about 80 employees losing jobs. You know, you've talked about how the city has to adjust to the job climate. So you see, you know, the city investing in a convention center and hoping to bring in a casino. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the strategy, right, to offset some of these other jobs.
Yeah, you know, there's some older companies like that just can't compete in the current marketplace that you hate to see go. I mean, there's a lot of history there. But, you know, they just made the business decision. It's just not viable for them. They tried to sell the company and they're just not making any money. So, you know, that becomes a very difficult thing to do. So hopefully those 80 employees can find a job. We have plenty of job openings around the community that they'll be able to find a place here locally that's something that, you know, fits into what their skill set is. But we have to be prepared for that. You know, there's other companies out there. Sony DADC will eventually be down to nothing. And so there's going to be another 170 employees there eventually that will have to find a place to go. And so we have to continue to make sure we help other businesses that are here expand and bring new opportunities here. So there's always a place. There's just always going to be in that transition, and we want to make sure there's a place for all those employees.
I want to get an update on the convention center project. I haven't driven in that part of town yet, so I'm not sure exactly where the construction is on that.
Well, we haven't started construction yet because we're still working on land acquisition. There's been some utility work that started, but the actual construction has not started yet. We've got to solve a parking issue. So that's what we're dealing with right now. Looking at various options. We have about 3 different options that are available to us. But we're not able to build the second parking garage. It's too cost prohibitive at this point in time. So we're building the big parking garage, but the smaller one that sits behind the Hilton Garden Inn, we have to come up with another surface parking option right now. Hopefully in a few years, we'll be able to build that parking garage, maybe structure it a little differently, do something differently with it to make that feasible. And then whatever property we acquire for the surface parking then can be turned into something else. So we're just at the beginning stages of this study, just within the last few weeks, and we're trying to figure out that solution. Once we have a solution for Dora, the hotel owner, then he'll know that we can move forward with this. We'll close on the property and construction will begin immediately. So we're ready to go. All the bids are in hand. Our construction manager is ready to go. So right now we've just kind of focused on the utility component, but we're ready to really would like to get that overall construction started.
Is the surface parking, is that related more toward those coming to the convention or is that for hotel?
It's really for the hotel. We've got the convention in the parking garage. We're not really have any surface parking for the convention center. It's all in the garage. We just need, we're taking away 170 surface lot spaces to build this facility. And we need to add a few back in, it looks like, because the second parking garage is gonna be a $5 million project versus the bigger parking garage is about $8 million and you're getting, almost 3 times as many parking spots. So it's just an issue that came up once it came in, went out to bid, we got it back and it's like, wow, this is just more than what we had planned. So we've set that aside and we're trying to deal with that in a different way.
Well, and there are a lot of moving parts to this, including who's going to run or operate the convention center too. That's not something that you're looking at being done here through the center or the visitors bureau, correct?
No, we are going to hire a professional firm to operate this. We want them to market it and operate it so they do all that for us, experienced people who just do this every day, basically. They just run convention centers. And so the requests for proposals are out on the street. We've heard from 4 or 5 different ones that are putting in proposals. They'll be due here in a couple of weeks. And then we'll select a vendor to come in and do that activity for us. We want this to be as successful as we possibly can. And we believe by hiring a professional firm to do that on our behalf is the right approach. And it's going to work out really well.
Any quick update on the jail?
No, they're building the road to the jail. So construction will start soon. I mean, everything is in place, their funding is in place. It's just having the access road to be able to start construction is where they're at. And so I don't know when their actual groundbreaking on the building is, but it's coming up to be very soon here.
Did I read about a chicken ordinance being debated here in Terre Haute? Is that
yes.
Urban
and
chicken?
It passed, yeah, and so people are gonna have chickens in the city now. We'll see how it goes. There was some folks that wanted to do that, understand that. And our ordinance didn't allow chickens to be raised in the city. And so the ordinance changed and we are allowing that now with some restrictions. You can't have too many, can't have any roosters. You gotta have the right environment for them. And some basic rules that most other communities in Indiana that allow that have. And so we'll see how it goes. I think it's interesting. I don't have any desire to raise chickens myself to have eggs at home, but there's people that do, and they have the opportunity to do that now.
Yeah, we've covered that in Bloomington, Columbus.
Yeah,
now it's about
we've heard
everywhere.
All those stories.
It was Terre Haute's turn, I think.
I think so. So now we've done it, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, this is a whole different note, but I just had to ask you because Terre Haute was in the news the last couple of months for federal executions, and I mean I know that's not a city or county government, obviously. Entity, but it's happening, something that's happening in your city, draws national attention. Is there a relationship between, the mayor's office administration here and the federal prison here in Terre Haute at all?
Yeah, we meet regularly. They have a community advisory board that is made up. It's got our fire chief, police chief, myself on it, and a variety of other community leaders. And so we have constant contact about what's going on, what are they doing at the prison, what are the programs they offer, any issues they have, and we can share some things back with them that may affect them. But specifically on the executions, just because of this relationship, they have already done some training and drills related to this, what's going to happen on the day of an execution. You know, as the Supreme Court put a hold on that, well, it's working its way up through the system, as you will, through the appellate court and Supreme Court, to determine whether executions are going to go again. But we've already done a tremendous amount of legwork ahead of time, so we know exactly what we're all going to do, police and fire and the federal authorities, how we're going to handle those execution days to make sure the protesters are kept separate from supporters. And, you know, the politics and the just the way things are today, there's a lot of volatile things happening out there. And so we want to make sure, from a community perspective, everybody's kept safe here and be able to, you know, state their case, make their statements to the public, and still do that in a very professional way. And so that relationship allowed us to be able to do that. And I feel really good about, if executions begin again, that we'll be in a great position to make sure they go off without a hitch.
So it's the beginning of a new year, although the fiscal year isn't until July 1st.
No, our fiscal year is the calendar year.
It is the calendar year. Okay. Yes. Can we get an update, end of year 2019 fiscal? And
yeah, I don't have all the details yet, but we did better than we did the previous year. We keep improving. I know the general fund finished about $1.5 million, you know, in the good. And so we came in, revenues exceeded expenses in the general fund, which is our most important fund. And overall, the bottom line looks like it will increase. We'll have more revenues saved at the end of the year that we did not spend to kind of help continue to build those reserves. We won't have all the final numbers till the end of February when we have our CTAR due to the state of Indiana, where all of our final data has to be in for 2019. But I'm really encouraged by, we kind of met our goals that we had set, it looks like, and we're in a great place. So 4 straight years of balanced budgets, 2020 will be a balanced budget. The goal here is really to put reserves back. So as we, you know, we want to make sure we don't spend everything that we take in, and we build budgets that are less than what our revenues are going to be.
What are those reserves like right now, looking ahead to February, March? Are you having to starting to look to move some of those funds again to borrow?
Well, we already did some things. And we took out a tax anticipation warrant this year, but we've reduced it to $3 million. It was $3.5 million last year. It was $5 million just a few short years ago. So we keep reducing that. But I don't want to squeeze ourselves too much. So it's kind of a balance between those loans and what cash we have on hand. It just keeps improving, but I want to make sure we continue to be able to deliver the services we need to deliver, and that's kind of what that balance is. And so, yeah, we're going to have a little bit more money this year, so that means we'll be able to reduce our borrowing again yet by the end of this year.
When did that tax warrant anticipation come out?
We will receive that at the end of this month. So we did that in December council meeting, and so we'll get it at the end of this month.
Okay. Looking back at 2019, and now looking ahead to 2020, what are some of the things that maybe you didn't really get to in 2019 and you're looking forward now in 2020?
I think the only thing we didn't get done was the police station started. So as we're looking at this option with the Tribune Star building, we're waiting on a final proposal, which I should have any day now, that we can move that project ahead. That was kind of the only thing that was left over, if you will. We got all the construction projects completed. We started our long-term control plan projects along the river, about $56 million worth of work. And so we had a great 2019. As we look ahead to 2020, design work continues on the overpass at 13th and 8th Avenue. So we'll have a better handle on what that's going to look like this year. We got a community crossings grant. So we have 4 major projects we're doing along with those funds. And then we'll be doing some paving outside of that, of some city streets. And so, I mean, we're really just kind of didn't miss a beat going from 2019 to 20, I don't think. Completed the things we wanted to get done and really only carried the police station over that will happen and will get completed in 20. So I feel like we're in a really good spot.